Ho, ho, ho! What is up, everybody? We are back with another episode. As you can tell, I am in a new spot because a lot of the people that listen and a lot of my friends said my lighting absolutely sucked the last time. So I got a ring light coming. I am currently sitting on my countertop, on my stove with, you know, as you can see, the sinks behind me. I got as many lights on as possible. So we're rolling, baby. We're rolling. Brett, as a custom dude, I got a little high noon, little watermelon one here, dude. Let's get that little that sound never gets old. Brett's got a little
Coors. Cheers, man. I'm rocking with the Rockies.
Ray, dude, that's representing Miller Coors right there, baby. Milwaukee.
There you go. Milwaukee tie-in. yeah, man, our backgrounds kind of match, actually.
They do.
We're coordinating a little bit better today. We'll see. We'll see if the video drops, man. And we dropped the last one on the YouTube. I'll probably upload this one, too. That one, it turned out pretty good.
Brett, we have a special podcast today, man. We are going to go all in the Boston Celtics. We didn't really get a chance to talk about it last week because I believe the news broke on Wednesday night, so we weren't even really aware of it. If you remember, about a month ago, we did the Atlantic Division, kind of a overview of their offseason, and we both gave it, you know, one of the best offseasons that they had. They got Danilo Gallinari. They got Malcolm Brogdon for absolutely nothing. Well, in the time since we recorded that podcast, Danilo Gallinari has torn his ACL and is most likely out for the season. Robert Williams going to come out. He's going to miss at least the first 3 months of the season. And probably the biggest thing is Ime Udoka, the Boston Celtics head coach, is suspended for a year. We don't know what. I'm not going to speculate about all that. The Boston Celtics says it was improper behavior. I thought they handled it terribly. We'll get into some of the specifics with that. But mainly, we're here to talk about the NBA portion of it because that's what we do. And I haven't really heard a lot of podcasts talk about that recently. Joe Mazzulla is the interim head coach. I feel really weird saying this because I'm 35, going to be 36 next month. He is younger than me. Awesome. Makes me feel just fantastic.
Is he that young? Wow.
He is that young. I'll just start with this, Brett. This is absolutely crazy. From the last time that you and I talked about the Celtics until now, it feels like an entire year has passed. You and I were talking beforehand. I don't think that I've ever seen a team go through an offseason quite like this, if ever, in the NBA. I'm sure maybe there's a team that we're not thinking of, but just off the top of my head, I can't. This is going to be the Boston Celtics' third head coach in 3 years, from Brad Stevens to Ime to Mazzulla. I just find it very weird. You know, this team, up until January, and I know they had the Dennis Schroeder trade, but they were a 500 team for like 2 years. And then all of a sudden in January, something clicked. You heard from a bunch of Boston-centric podcasts. You heard from the Boston fans that are in our group that, hey, Ime's message finally got through. Like, they're the kind of the tough love, a hard, no-nonsense, kind of a Greg Popovich-type coach. They were ready to go, and obviously we know what happened. They were, from January until the NBA Finals, one of the best teams in the NBA. Obviously, they represented the East out of the Eastern Conference. This is batshit crazy. I've kind of talked a little bit on this. I think that if the Celtics go on to win the NBA title, I think it will be one of the most impressive NBA titles we've had just based on everything that has happened. It's been a bonkers week. The Boston Celtics fans are a little bit on edge in our group. They can't really believe what's going on.
In shambles.
The last 3 weeks have just been absolutely bananas. I think kind of you looked at the Gallinari injury and you were like, okay, whatever. He wasn't probably going to play big-time playoff rotation minutes anyways. You know, kind of a feeling to give these guys some rest. And then it snowballed, man. It absolutely snowballed. Kind of give me your thoughts initially. I know they had media day. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. I can kind of get into some of that stuff and read some quotes for you guys. But your initial thoughts Wednesday night, I know in Hawaii it was probably, what, 7 p.m., 8 p.m. for you? What were kind of your initial thoughts? I could kind of see it on Twitter and in the overstated NBA Facebook group. You were kind of like, there's got to be more to this. There's got to be more to this than there was. But we really haven't talked like, how is this going to affect Boston on the court? So give me your thoughts.
All right.
And then kind of how you think this is going to affect them on the court.
Let me turn my light back on and chug the rest of my beer, and then I'll talk about the Boston Celtics.
Oh, man, dude, folks. You know why he's saying this? He is nervous. That's why. Boston is one of his teams, probably his team. He probably just wanted to let you know that. But this is big. This is big for Brett. I could tell he's a little nervous. He's got to talk about his team, and it might not be positive here, folks. Brett might not be talking positive about Boston. Come on, Brett, lay it on me, dude. All right, Wednesday night, you hear the news. What are you thinking?
I'm trying to think when I heard it. I think I must have heard – if it broke Wednesday night, I must have heard it Thursday morning because I think it's something I woke up to.
No, you had something posted already when I woke up, and I wake up at 5 a.m.
Okay, so maybe because I'm early. Like it's what 3:45 here or something right now. So I'm definitely 40, like. So yeah, maybe it was like afternoon here when it broke, but I don't know, man. It was definitely disbelief because right off the bat they came out and said, you know, he's facing a significant suspension. Right. I think that was the wording from Woj, I believe, on the initial report. So like that was the first thing you hear. So like right off the bat, you're like, oh, fuck, like this is serious. Like they wouldn't be saying that. Like there's so many other things they could have said that wouldn't have rung the panic bells in my head so loudly. But the fact that they said he's facing a significant suspension, they weren't saying the whole season. But it was like, whoa, like, okay, what the fuck is going on? You know, and at first, I don't even think it was really, it just was like, you know, he broke the team code of conduct, right? Like, they didn't even say the specifics. And yeah, at that point, it was like, okay, what's going on? And then it comes out that, you know, it's a relationship with a staffer. And then it's like, it was consensual. Then it's like, maybe some of it wasn't. And there's inappropriate content. And it was like, they found out about it through a fucking Ring doorbell. So it's just been this like weird trickle of information where it's like, we're learning a little bit more by the day. And like, again, like I'm with you, man. Like, I don't want to speculate on what it is beyond what we know. Other than that, I think there is more to it. Like I just do. And that's not to like downplay what it already is. Like I certainly understand why they would suspend him even for a year, even if everything we know is all that there is, that does warrant being fired, really, which I think is where this is going. I think,
yeah,
you know, I think the year suspension, it's not so much like people were like, oh, they just want him to quit. I don't think it's that. I think they want time to investigate this and do it thoroughly. Because I think he's going to be fired. It's a matter of time.
Yeah, I don't. I'm with you, man. I don't think he coaches a game again.
No, God, no. I don't know. And then it comes out like people are saying that insiders are saying he's never going to coach again.
Yeah,
that was when I was like, okay, it's definitely worse than we know. And of course, there's like the Matt Barnes video where like he's saying it's 100 times worse than we thought and all this shit, and we're like, okay, so what is it like? Because yeah. Hey man, like I understand that speculation is bad, and it's certainly bad to like bring people's names into this, but at the same time, like I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to know. Like, just I'm sorry, maybe I'm a sucker for celebrity gossip, or maybe I'm just a Celtics fan, but oh, I want to know what the fuck he did. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but it's definitely serious. And yeah, man, it's now it's like, where do we go from here? You know, like, okay, we've got a new coach, Joe Mazzulla. However Mazzulla. You say it. I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
He's Italian, baby. He's Mazzulla. Italian. Come on.
Mazzulla. That's how fast all this has happened, though. I know he's a former college player. I think at West Virginia.
A couple years ago, he was coaching like a D2 school. And 3 years ago. And I know he coached the Celtics G League for a while, but this is like.
But bro, things can change. Look how fast it changed, though. It's like, I swear to God, dude, I swear to God, a week and a half ago, maybe less, maybe a week ago, like right before this broke, I tweeted, I will actually be shocked if the Celtics don't win 60 plus games. Yeah. And now, they could still be a very good team, to be clear, but it's like, at that point when I said that, I think that was before the Robert Williams thing for sure. Probably after the Gallinari injury, but it was, yeah, but before the Robert Williams injury or surgery, and before the E-mate thing, obviously. And so at that point, I'm like, oh my God, like this squad is so ridiculously deep, even without Gallinari. They've got a great coach. They're coming off a finals run. Like they're like sitting prettier than any other team in the league. And then it gets announced that Rob Williams is out for, you know, who knows, probably at least a few months. I think they said 8 to 12 weeks, probably more than that.
And that's when that's similar to the Lonzo news. That's when he's going to, they're going to like further evaluate and go from there. That's well, not I even mean, like You know what I mean? Like, that's not like, hey, Robert Williams is going to start practice. Like, he'll be back on the court.
It was not an encouraging update. It was not like he was, because it initially was reported as like a cleanup procedure. Obviously, it's not that. Like, a little arthroscopic cleanup is not 3 months. So between that and then a couple days later, it was like the Ime thing. So like within a week, it went from like, I'm picking this team to win the title to like, I don't know, they can still be really good, but oh my God, things have changed. And now I have a lot of questions, and we can definitely get into some of that.
Well, here's kind of the thing that I'm just going to specifically talk about the basketball portion of this, and we can get into kind of, you know, the Brad Stevens press conference, where I really don't think that he really said anything. I think they kind of hurt themselves because everyone's wondering the same thing. If it's that bad, why would you just suspend him for the year? Why don't you just fire him right away and clean slate? I know there's been an investigation since July. Some of the stuff on the internet was very weird. I know they were, you know, fan is short for fanatic. I know that they were kind of looking at to who the women are, right? Whatever. We're not going to get into that. We don't really do that stuff, you know, on this podcast. But Media Day was the other day, and I was very interested. And I'm going to tell you some stuff that kind of happened at Media Day that I was absolutely surprised by. And I think Brad Stevens has just really screwed this up, right? So they asked Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown says he hasn't talked to Ime. We're all shocked with what's going on, a little confused. Jaylen, and then it goes to kind of into the trade stuff, you know, whatever. And then they go, Jason Tatum didn't know about this. They asked Jason Tatum, how did you find out? This is Jason, this is word for word what he said. Shit on Twitter like everybody else. Okay, Marcus.
Oh, what an age we live in, brother.
Well, like, I'll get to that in a minute. Marcus Smart, it's been hell for us. It caught us by surprise. No one really knows anything. Mm. I mean this kind of like sincerely. Like, I'm not trolling. I know Boston Milwaukee has a great rivalry, but I think I do a pretty good job of putting that to the side while we talk about this stuff. I'm with you, man. I thought Boston, anything short of an NBA Finals appearance would have been a failure for them. Like, they're that good. They gave up nothing for Brogdon. We've talked about this a lot, right?
Yeah.
If you're Brad Stevens, man, and let's just put this into perspective, right? You tried to trade your second best player, Jaylen Brown, who was the best player in the finals, by the way, for your team, for Kevin Durant. We all understand it. We all get it, right? Fine. I think Jaylen even said something.
But he found out about that shit on Twitter.
Yeah. But Jaylen said he kind of talked about it. He's getting ready to play. He's in the best shape. You know, we heard all that shit. But Jason Tatum is your dude, right? And we know the NBA landscape right now. We talked about it like a month ago. We're in an age now where there's going to be that next superstar, start a superstar player that's going to ask for a trade. What on earth are you doing not telling your best player, Jason Tatum? You don't got to go into details about it. You don't got to say this. You couldn't send a text or pick up a phone and be like, Jason, shit went real bad. This is really bad. We're going to have to spend Ime for the rest of the year. You couldn't do that an hour before this news broke.
Right.
You couldn't do that like a day before. Like, that is just, you don't think, I think I was seeing some stuff on Twitter or social media. Like, I can guarantee you Milwaukee is doing that with Giannis. The Lakers are doing it with LeBron. Phoenix is doing it with Chris Paul, probably. Like, all these other teams that run this stuff, they are doing that.
Like, let me say this in fairness. Like, so we don't know where that leak came from, where Woj got his grubby little hands on that report. Like, that could have been anybody. So, like, but I don't know.
But
maybe they didn't know it. You know what I mean? Like, maybe the people that would have told Tatum and would have wanted to tell Tatum, Brown, etc., aren't the same people that are telling Woj. So, like, I think there's a disconnect there where, like, they didn't know that this was coming out. The person that leaked it certainly knew it was coming out, but like the powers that be, the ownership, the front office, you know, the main guys, the people that we would expect to tell the players and maybe had been planning on telling the players, they might not have known this was about to drop. Like, maybe nobody gave them a warning. Although I would think somebody like Woj would owe it to them to like, hey, I'm about to, you know what I mean? Like reporters do that. Like, hey, I'm about to drop this. It's going to be a fucking bomb. Like, tell your players because this is coming out in 20 minutes or whatever. Like, maybe I don't know. I don't know how all that works. I'm not familiar with that world, but maybe they didn't know that it was going to come out right when it did. But at the same time, if they were investigating it, like as soon as they knew this was serious to the point that they're going to have to suspend him for a year minimum, probably fire him, like at that point, they should have told the players. No doubt about it. Like it shouldn't be based on when the rest of the world is going to find out, because we live in a fucking crazy world.
At least Tatum. Twitter. At least Tatum. He's your best player.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure. It's weird because did I not read something where it was like some, you know, Celtics players and staffers like knew that Ime had a relationship with somebody like back in July, like people, like I think
from what I gather,
they didn't know the consequences of it. Maybe
from what everybody said from Media Day, like they didn't even know about this. And I heard on a podcast, I think.
I'm sorry to clarify. Like, so when these players at Media Day were saying that they didn't know about it, were they saying they didn't know about the affair or they didn't know about the punishment or both?
They for sure didn't know about the punishment.
Right.
About the affair, man. I can't. They didn't really kind of get into that. I'm assuming that they didn't. But like,
yeah.
I even heard today, and here's another thing that has got to go up against Boston management here, is Marcus Smart said that Ime was out in LA like a couple weeks ago, getting ready for the season.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It is just, I cannot, again, we don't know all the details. Like, I'm not trying to speculate on all
this
stuff.
It's hard not to speculate. You have to
involve your star player in that stuff.
Yes.
Like, it is baffling to me that Jason Tatum, your guy, is finding out about this through on Twitter. Like, that cannot happen. It can't.
No. And like, yeah, because it's like, did they – because if Ime's just out there in LA preparing for the season, like, did the Celtics find something out in, like, the recent, like, within a couple days of that Woj bomb dropping? Like, did they find something out that Ime didn't think they knew, you know? And then that's what, not to speculate on what that could be, but did they find something out that prompted all this? Like, because if they've been investigating this for a couple months, like, I don't think they would have just been sitting on it and not telling anybody. Maybe they're like, we're doing an investigation. You know what I mean? We're conducting an investigation. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's like, you're suspended for a year. So was that year suspension and ultimately firing, in my opinion, like the product of this months long investigation? Or was there a months long investigation where either Ime didn't know he was being investigated or just knew he was, but was kind of like, we're good and we're just going to keep preparing for the season? And then they found something out that like he didn't think they knew. Like, that's where I wonder, just the timeline of this is really weird, but a lot of that, I think the blame should be placed on the way it's been reported. Like, that's been a complete fucking mess, to be clear. Like, it's been irresponsible, reckless, unclear. Like,
oh, a little Woj upset with Woj and Shams, huh?
Yeah, man. I mean, everybody is kind of like that. They definitely did not handle this well either. Like, because they've led the speculation was the natural course of action for your average person. And that's what dragged these people into it. The people Brad Stevens was talking about, like, that's why, I mean, I blame the reporting a lot. And the Celtics deserve blame too. But, I just don't know how all that works. Like, with the timeline.
It's 2022 though, man. Like, if Woj or Shams finds that stuff out, they have to, whether it's a morality thing or not, like, you have to report that. Hey, the Boston Celtics, the defending Eastern Conference champions, one of the premier organizations in the NBA, are thinking about suspending their coach for an entire year. Like, you cannot not report that. Like, maybe they should have gone – maybe that led to some of the speculations, but from, like, their job, you have to report that. You cannot not report that.
And then just like I think it was the way it was worded. It was so vague.
Well, it came initially out of nowhere.
It came out of nowhere. It's one of the craziest NBA stories ever, because this was a fucking finals team, right? This was, I think, the best team in the NBA last season, right? And a finals team, and like Ime was like one of the greatest first year coaches ever. Like, I would say easily a top five first year coach. I mean, if you look at the season he had
in the last 15 years, only Steve Kerr was better. Steve Kerr's the only one that was better.
Right. Nick Nurse, I believe, was that his first year that he won a title? But like, it's a small group.
Nick Nurse.
But
too.
It's a small handful of guys. Like, Ime's up there. Like, so just to have that much success your first year, and for the Celtics, it's like, oh, we found our coach for the next 20 years, you know, like we found our Popovich, like this is the guy. And then he goes and fucking does this.
I think, man,
crazy.
It is crazy. And from a team standpoint, man, I can't really give you a gun to my head an answer on how good Boston is going to be in the season. I'll be completely honest with you. I think they're kind of fucked. Like from a gambling point of view, they're still 53.5. Their over under is for games one. I would probably bet the under on that right now. I have no idea how this is going to react. And then you lose Robert Williams on top of it. That came out like a day or two later. Malcolm Brogdon.
Did that come out after the Emay thing? I couldn't remember the order of that. Yeah.
And you got Malcolm Brogdon kind of saying it's going to be a huge adjustment for, like,
he's probably going to be fucking injured. Jesus Christ.
Like, well, this is still, let's be clear about this, right? This is still a player's league. They still have Jason Tatum. They still have Jaylen Brown. But I mean, dude, Emay was their guy. Like, they responded to him. Everybody will tell you, oh my God, Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens, Brad Stevens. Well, dude, this team tuned Brad Stevens out and kind of quit on him. So they had to bring in the polar opposite of Brad Stevens to come in, and they were really good. Like,
it was great.
This team is going to – and here's the thing that I think that other people don't fully understand. Every city that the Boston Celtics go to, they are going to be asked about this. Jason Tatum is going to be asked. Jaylen Brown is going to be – could you, let's just say hypothetically here, man, first month of the season, Boston is a 500 team. They are going to be dog, and Joe Mazzulla looks completely over his head. Is it going to be Brad Stevens needs to come down like a la Pat Riley? There are just so many unnecessary distractions that Boston is now going to have to deal with when, like we said a month ago, this team was like you said, possibly going to win 60 games. Number one seed, like locked in. Hey, Jason Tatum learned from the NBA Finals. He's got to take care of the ball better. Jaylen Brown's coming into camp, best shape of his life. Robert Williams is ready to go. Like, it is just, I have never seen anything in any sport change as quick as this past week. I mean, this broke on Wednesday night. It is Tuesday night that we're recording, literally 6 days. And I'm like, dude, Boston might be fucked, man. Like, they might legitimately be fucked. Not because they don't have the talent, because their head coach is gone. They got a coach, like we said, 2 years ago, was coaching a D2, D3 team. And they're going to be dogged about this the entire time, man. I'm just telling you, they're going to be dogged about it. Go back. You want to talk about it? Let's go back to – we mentioned it a little bit earlier. Where the Detroit Pistons beat the LA Lakers, right, in the NBA Finals. That was the Kobe year when Kobe was flying back and forth for Colorado. And all that team was dude, everybody knew on paper – sorry, Molly, you know I love you. On paper, dude, that Lakers team should have killed Detroit. But dude, they're emotionally, mentally just worn the fuck down. Something like that could happen to this team. Granted, it's not as, you know, legally serious as what Kobe was accused of, but it's stuff like that every city they go to, man, they're going to be asked about this stuff. And it's mentally, dude, it takes a toll on you. It just does.
It's a major distraction. Like, that's why teams don't want to bring in certain players. You don't want unnecessary distractions. That's what this could very well be. Like, you make a really good point. They're going to be asked about it constantly. I think it could go one of two ways. Like, it really could fuck up their focus, chemistry, where you might have guys that have allegiance to Emay, guys that say fuck Emay. Like, not all the players probably feel the same way about him. So that could be like a point of division. Or it could bring them together. And, you know, it's adversity that has been known to bring people together. I wouldn't rule that out, where, like, they're just about as good as we thought they'd be. And, like, the Time Lord thing is kind of a bigger deal than the Emay thing. Like, because, like you said, it's a players' league. It's, you know, you could have the greatest coach in the world, and if you don't got players, you're not going to be that good. And I'm sure there's been some relatively subpar coaches that have had a lot of success because they've had had great players. And, like, I'm not going to say that's the case with these guys, but look at Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr, just as an example of a coach that had a lot of success, where, like, Mark Jackson was kind of like the Ime Udoka for the Warriors, where, like, this had been a team that had been struggling for a long time. Not that that's the case with the Celtics by any means, but he had a lot of success. And they had their reasons, and they replaced him with Steve Kerr. And it was kind of like, damn, like we're losing Mark Jackson after he took us to the playoffs and like we'd seen like we're on the cusp
of contention. Change the culture a little bit.
Changed the culture, like empowered Steph and Clay, like all that shit came to fruition under Mark Jackson. Like that, they were on the cusp already of like title contention, and that was that people were like, "What the fuck?" And then Steve Kerr comes in, and not that he's like an unknown like Joe Mazzulla is, but like he, you know, obviously had a little bit of success with them, and then nobody's worried about the Mark Jackson thing anymore. So like, I'm not saying Joe Mazzulla is going to be the next Steve Kerr or the Celtics are going to be like the Warriors, but like we have seen teams that seem like they've got this great coach. Like, and there's other examples too. But I think the Warriors is a good one. And maybe they won't miss Ime the coach as much as we think they might. Like he's obviously a good coach, a very good coach, comes from the Popovich school of coaching, was very highly regarded until this. But Joe Mazzulla could be, Tatum likes him a lot. I just, you know, he's just an unknown, but I wouldn't rule out a guy because he doesn't have pro experience. Like we've talked about this for sure on the pod. Like I like fresh faces in the coaching world. I hate like the retread, like you're really going to hire Nate McMillan again, or like Steve Clifford again. Like, you know what I mean? Like these same old guys that have just been Tibbs. Like, I don't know. Like sometimes I like fresh faces. Cause like a lot of the best coaches were relative unknowns. I was just reading about Hubie Brown because it was on his birthday. He was a great coach. He was a high school coach that just got a couple breaks and then got into the NBA, and now he's fucking Hubie Brown. So I don't know. Like maybe Joe is – he seems like an interesting guy, just seeing like some quotes and the way he sort of is. He seems like an interesting guy. I'm not like out on him. So I don't know. It could go one of two ways. That's my point. Is like it could fuck them up, or it could bring them together. And he might be an all right coach. I don't know.
I think what you're trying to say though is, you know, it's a big jump to go from where he was at. I mean, dude, this is a finals team. This has got a lot of expectation. They had a lot of expectations and pressure already going into this season. Yep. You throw in Boston, like I said, one of the best, if not the best, one of the best franchises in NBA history,
the
Boston media, the pressure that's going to be on it. Like, this isn't just like, you know, Nick Nurse kind of going to Toronto with Kawhi, you know, bust, you know, Mike Budenholzer going to Milwaukee, small media. You know what I mean? Like, this is like the Boston Celtics. I just, the pressure, man. And if they can withstand it, and you're right, man, it's maybe the pressure, it's going to bring them together and Boston isn't going to miss a beat and they're going to be really good. Or maybe like the pressure just gets to this, the head coach is just in over his head. Boston, like you said, man, it's a grind. And it's going to, I just worry that it's going to mentally take a toll on them, because they were already going into the season with the world of expectations on their shoulders. And now to do this without Ime and just to be dogged by this. And that's why the other thing, like, I don't understand. I think it hurts the players more. Maybe there's something from the organization that we're not understanding or we don't know yet. Why they just wouldn't fire him and be done with it and cut the cord so these players don't kind of be asked it. And you know what we didn't even talk about yet? You've said it. You've been on this since the report broke. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. There's got to be more. You touched on Matt Barnes going on Instagram Live. First, he defended Ime, and then he, you know, the next day he deleted it right away. The next day,
for him to do that, and he didn't, because he didn't walk back his second statement. He walked back his initial defense, but he didn't walk back that 100 times worse video. Like,
yeah, and so imagine again. Let's just go to a hypothetical. You know, maybe Boston's flirting right around 500, or maybe they're not 500, and then there's more bombs that drop, and then the players are going to get asked that again. Like, this isn't going to stop until whatever happened comes out, and I think TMZ is probably going to get it. Yep. It's going to come out. It's going to be a bombshell. But who knows if that's going to be a trickle-down effect. Who knows? Or until they fire the guy.
Like, there's a chance that this is it. Like that, well, we might – okay, we're not going to get names of, like, the women. Like, we don't need that. We don't want that. Like, that's not what we're looking for. Like, and so there's a chance that this is it. I do think there's more, and I do think if there is more, it will come out. It's inevitable. It's the world we live in. There's too much money at stake. Somebody who knows could sell that shit to TMZ and will. Like, but even if this is all it is, it's still bad enough. He's never going to coach again for Boston. Again, people are saying maybe not in the NBA ever again. Like, Ethan Strauss had some sources who said that. Like, you know, I don't think it was agents. Just like he's done. He's cooked. I don't know, man. It's unprecedented. It's weird. It still hasn't sunk in. Like, I just was, it's just crazy that the last time we talked, when we recorded that Central Division pod, like, that feels like yesterday. Yeah. And this wasn't even out then.
Yep.
So it's only been like 6 days or something, like not even a week. And like, here we are. So yeah, man, it's, who knows how much it's going to affect them.
And you know what else too? It's not, again, from a basketball point of view, it's not like the East isn't loaded. You know what I mean? Like, Milwaukee's still there. They're going to be really fucking good. You got Philly. You love Philly's offseason. They're going to be there. You know, have Cleveland's going to be there. Brooklyn's got to show it, but on paper, Brooklyn looks really freaking good. Again, that's a whole nother team that we'll get to when we kind of do a preview, but it's not like the East of like a couple years ago where Boston, hey man, maybe we can do this. Like, you, if you don't get home court in the East, dude, you might be done. Like, you might not make it out of the first round. Like, this isn't like, this is crazy, man. This is, I can see the look on your face. I hope you release this.
No. Let me get my light back on for this.
It's like, Kyle, turn the camera on.
I hate that I have to do that. I'm going to request to my building, like, yo, can we disable that motion sensor when I'm in here? For listeners that don't know, I reserve this like lounge room in my building. It's like a community room, but it's just, you know, it's a nice room. It's good for recording podcasts. I've got a just turned 5-year-old at home, so that's not exactly conducive to quality podcast audio. But
no,
you reminded me of what, you know, you reminded me of what I wanted to say.
It's deep though, man. The East is deep.
Yes, there's no question. But as far as the Celtics, just in terms of basketball, I'll say this. First of all, I'm just going to call him Coach Joe until I know for sure how to pronounce his last
Mazzulla.
Name.
It's Joe Mazzulla.
Mazzulla. It sounds like a city in Montana.
He's got that Italian, baby. He's that Italian.
Mazzulla. All right.
Maybe it.
Joe Mazzulla has already.
Call him Coach Joe because maybe it is. Maybe it is.
Nah, we'll go with Mazzulla. He did. I think it was at Media Day. He said they're going to keep Ime's stuff. Cheers, brother. They're going to keep Ime's stuff. The stuff that worked last year. He's not going to deviate from that. In terms of principles, plays, all that. So they could look a lot like last year's Celtics, just in terms of basketball, the way they play, right? And then, look, man, I think an important point is that when you're on the court playing, it's just basketball, right?
Yeah.
You could Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart and Al Horford on the court, Malcolm Brogdon. They know how to play basketball. They know how to run everything. They know how to win games. Like, it's not like I think a lot of NBA teams could function. Like, you take the most talented teams in the league and you take away their coach, I still think they might be better than, well, we talked about the parity in the last episode, how the worst teams are better than they used to be. But for most of NBA history, I think you could take the very best teams, take away their coach, and they'd still probably be better than the worst teams with that have coaches. Like, so, I mean, at the end of the day, like, if we take away all the bullshit, all the distraction, all the potential chemistry issues, the potential division over this, all those things, and you just distill it to the coaching and the basketball, I think they could be perfectly fine. I think they know what to do when they're on the court, and I think they're not introducing some radical new principles or playing styles or anything like that. So it's going to be what they did last year. And it's just going to be up to the players to like, because yeah, you could be all these distractions off the court and everything, but as long as the players are kind of on the same page with everything and are all cool with one another, I think when they're on the court, they're just going to hoop and they're still going to be a really fucking good team. Like, I would lean towards that. Like, I don't see them going from a potential, you know, 57 win team to like a 45 win team because of this scandal. Like, I believe in the players being able to play cohesively and at a high level when they're on the court. Because when they're on the court, like, none of that other shit matters, right? They're just going to hoop. And like, they still have a great team. Now we can talk about some of the basketball stuff. Like the Rob Williams thing is a major concern. And I'm almost inclined to think like that's going to be a bigger deal than the Ime thing, just in terms of, not in terms of media coverage, certainly, but in terms of how it affects them on the court. Because we talked about this a lot in the playoffs. I know I was harping on it. Like, they're not the same team without him. To me, he was the X factor in every single one of their series. I said it over and over. Like, you need him healthy. If he's healthy, if he's at his best, you are a much better team. So the question is, like, I think there's no question that they're going to keep him out as long as they need to for him to get right. Rob Williams is not going to come back until he is 100% right. Like, they're not going to do that again. So the question is, like, how well do they fare until they get him back? So between losing him, power forward center, and Gallo, power forward, they're starting to look pretty thin up front. And when your main other guy up front is like my age,
you have to save Al Horford for the playoffs. Like,
you cannot play him 35 minutes a game, like, in the regular season.
They do not win that Milwaukee series without Al. No, they absolutely do not.
No, I don't know what his minutes per game were last season during the regular season. I'll look it up while I'm talking. But if you look at 29 minutes a game last year, I would guess that before any of this shit happened, when they had the full roster with Gallo and Time Lord, they were probably thinking 26 minutes a game for Al Horford, right? Like, let's save him. Like you said, keep him fresh for the playoffs. We've got Williams. That's why we brought in Gallinari. Like, we've got decent frontline depth. Obviously, Grant Williams, Tatum at some four, you know, here and there. But like, now that you take Rob and Gallo out of the equation, what do you do if you can't play Horford more than, say, 28 minutes a game? You know, tops. Like, what do you do? Who else do you have? Like, how much do you want to play Tatum at power forward? How much do you want to play Luke Kornet? Like, what, you know, how much are you going to lean on Grant Williams? How much five is he going to be playing? Like, what's that going to look like? Like, I guess that's my biggest basketball question with them, is the front court. And I think they got an exception for Gallinari, right? Like, they can, I think they'll make a trade to address this. But right now, as it stands, they seem really shallow up front.
They do, man. I think you touched on it pretty good there. That Robert Williams thing on the basketball court could be way more important than Ime Udoka.
They are not the same team without him. They are not the same team without him.
Yeah, and for all the concerns, you know, about Coach Joe, you know, in the playoffs, you know, how is he going to handle his timeouts? How is he going to do this stuff? I think those are legitimate concerns. But to start the season, and I think you touched on a very good point too. And again, man, you saw Isaiah Thomas, you know, he just to add to the Celtics' rough week, you know, he kind of retweeted, I was told that my injury wasn't going to get worse, and look what happened.
Seen this movie before.
But you touched on it, though, man. I don't think you can put Rob Williams on the court again until he is 100% ready to go. And who knows how long that's going to be. And he was their best defensive player. If he played like that from October to the end of the regular season, he probably would have been defense player of the year. I know he got hurt there too, kind of near the end, but he is incredibly important to that team. And we saw, now granted, small sample size playoffs, but we saw like someone like Giannis could do against Boston without Robert Williams. You know, what is Joel Embiid going to do? Like you are spot on, man. It is a very, very big thing. And we sound like a broken record. I still cannot get my mind around the fact that literally 6 days ago we were recording, and I was even thinking in the back of my head, like, yeah, man, it's going to be Boston, Milwaukee. I even said it on the podcast. It's Boston, Milwaukee up here, and everybody else is down here. And it is just crazy how in 6 days, like, I have serious questions about this team. Like, and to be clear, we'll talk about this on our preview episode, you know, kind of on our predictions and stuff. I still think Boston's going to make the playoffs. I still think they're going to be a solid team. I'm not predicting doom and gloom, playing, nothing like that. But
no,
I think their championship aspirations took a very, very big hit here the last 6 days. I really do believe that.
And you look at Brogdon, like another guy that they're going to be leaning on heavily. and he's as injury prone as anybody. Like there's like, you know, I really hope it doesn't happen. I hope he can play 70 games. But there's a good chance that he won't. And it's like, you take him out of the equation and say Rob's out till after the new year and Gallo's done. And like, then it's like, shit, then you're kind of, you're not that deep anymore. Like that was one of your real strengths. And it's like the Grant Williams part of this is interesting. He's eligible for an extension. I don't believe he's signed it yet. I'm pretty sure I would know if he had.
No, I don't think he did. We would have heard that.
But that's like that. This could be big for that, where like you have to lean on him heavily without Robin Gallo, and he's playing, you know, 30 plus minutes. Like, I'd assume he's, I don't know, probably starting, right? I hadn't even really thought about that yet. Because again, this just happened so fast. But like, you know, if they can maintain their status as an elite team with him playing a big role and increasing, say, his volume to where he's averaging, you know, double figure points at least, and being more like the guy maybe we saw in the playoffs against a certain Central Division team, the 3-point volume and everything. Like, I don't know, he has a chance to earn a lot of money this year. Like, I think we're going to really see what Grant Williams is made of, because like, as much as I love Grant Williams and have been hot, when Celtics fans were fucking out on that guy, I said, no, he's the next PJ Tucker. He's that dude. He's had a lot around him, and this is going to be a lot of responsibility for Grant Williams. That's going to be kind of an interesting subplot to see how he handles it. Just with the type of guy he is, and then just on the court with his skill set, like what's that going to look like where he's all of a sudden like your, you know, fourth or fifth best player probably. And then, the Horford piece, like how much do they play him? How much do they lean on him? How much do they try to rest him? And how much does Tatum play up? Obviously he can play the four. He's power forward size. They've been pretty good with him there in the past, but like, is that something you want to go to a lot early in the season? Or do you just say, fuck it, we're going to stay above water. We're going to play Luke Kornet a lot. We're going to maybe sign some random guy or make a trade for some, you know, average big that's out there. And with Tatum and Brown, we're good enough to stay above water, because they certainly are. Like you said, like no matter what, they're a playoff team.
I think.
Right. Like no matter worst case scenario, they're a playoff team. And then you get Rob back, and maybe they could do something like they did last year, where like the second half of the season, they just turn it the fuck up and they're the best team in the league.
They are definitely without a doubt, without Robert Williams, without Emi Udoka, they are without a doubt a top six team in the East. Like, yes, they're not going to be in the play-in. Like they are top six. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Like, I wouldn't, if you told me that they were going to be the one seed or the two seed, I would say, okay. Like, I'm not saying that, but I think their title aspirations took a humongous hit. That's not to say that they can't win the title. That's not to take anything away from, like we said, they still got Tatum, Brown, and Smart, but it's going to be a grind, man. It's going to be a battle, dude.
Maybe it doesn't kill them. Like, I would almost phrase it, like, instead of saying it took a hit, it's like, it raised some questions, like where we have questions about how this is going to look.
You can say that. Like, I think it took a hit. Like, I really, in a sense,
it did, because I think raising those kind of questions is a hit. But like, we don't know that it's going to be. Like, we just have to see.
I'm excited. Then, though. Like, I am. I'm sure these guys are way more excited than I am. But I'm excited. Like, I want the season to start, and I want to see how this team's responds, because this is a lot of adversity that this team is going to face. I want to see it. I know you want to see it. I'm excited. Like, let's just fucking skip training camp and these dumb preseason games, and let's just get into it right now. I'm ready. Because
we won't know the biggest, you know, we can go over this more at a later date, but like maybe the biggest question that's really going to matter is like, how much better can Tatum and Brown get? Like, so those are your two guys. Those are your two stars. And I genuinely wonder, like, how close are those guys to their ceilings as players? Like, is Brown maxed out, or is there another level he can get to? Tatum, I'm pretty confident there's another level he can get to, but it's like, what does that look like? Because if you take the Tatum from, say, like, he struggled early last season, but say you take the Tatum from after Christmas last season, that guy, you know, pretty consensus top 10 player, like that version of him, you take that guy and you bring him to another level, then he's a top 6-7 guy probably, or whatever, top 5 maybe even. Like, would that be what the next level look like for him? And if he can somehow get to that this season, and then all of a sudden you have a top 5 player, plus Jay. Like, you know what I mean? So if those two guys can both, because they're already really fucking good, it doesn't need to be said, but if they can both take another leap, Jalen, I don't know how much better he can get, which is fine because he's awesome as he is. But like, this could be, what is he? He's probably about 26. Like, this could be close to his peak. I'm pretty confident in Tatum getting better, but I just wonder what that will look like.
I think I can tell you kind of what Tatum, in my eyes, what Tatum would look like. It's all about consistency with him. I mean, he's got to obviously cut down on the turnovers, but we talked about it during the playoff run last year. Every game, every series, he had just a game where you were like, what is going – he just needs to be more consistent, man, and he needs to cut out the turnover bullshit. He'll be fine then. I mean, to your point, dude, he was – up until that finals run, we were having a discussion if he was a top five player in the NBA. I mean, he busted Kevin Durant's ass. You know, as bad as he was, I think, what was it, game three in Milwaukee? I think he was terrible.
He had one every series, like you said.
He went to Milwaukee in game six and punched Milwaukee right in
the mouth. That was such a great day.
It was one of, if not the best games of his career. I was there. It was unreal. Front row seats to it. And then you go to Miami. He had a stinker then. And then Golden State, you know, he was just
– wasn't great.
The game that they won, he was god-awful. And then in the elimination game, he was god-awful.
He wasn't very good in the finals. But, you know, you nailed it, man. Like, he is very prone to these not just bad games, but like 2-for-18. Like
really bad games.
3-for-17, like abysmal games. Like, I've done the numbers on this where, like – you know, you look at guys that have had like, you know, sub 30% shooting games in a season. Like, he has more than anybody.
And the turnovers.
Him and Jalen both need to cut down on that. But like, yeah, I agree, man. I think consistency is the biggest thing for him. Like, it's okay. In the regular season, it's one thing to have that, like, to every 8, 10 games, you just have a fucking stinker. Like, that happens. Like, even Steph to a degree will do that. If you look at him, that's more just kind of the way he plays. For Tatum's a big dude that should be able to get to the rim and shouldn't have as many of those games, but it does happen. But in the playoffs, you know, because if he's your best player, he's your guy. If he goes 2-for-17, you're probably not winning that game. So he needs to, certainly in the playoffs, be more consistent. Yeah, you absolutely nailed it. And then, like, I will say, like, it's kind of sad that don't you feel like his finals performance has kind of tainted his, not only his playoff run, but like his whole season. Like, I don't think people realize how fucking good that guy was pretty much up until the finals, barring, you know, other than the few bad games. But
and that's the thing.
I think he didn't play that well on the biggest stage. And I think it almost like erased a lot of everything else that he did in the minds of many.
Kind of, but I also think like that's why this Ime thing is so unfortunate, because we should be talking about a motivated Jason Tatum who needs to be more consistent, who is hungry. We should have been expecting to hear stories like Jason Tatum worked out his game all offseason. He's ready to go. Like, he called
Kobe for some advice. Like,
you know, same with Jalen. Like, we should be talking about that. Instead, we're talking about this stupid Ime Udoka situation that. Again, man, I think it's going to be bad. To your point, though, if I was a Boston Celtics fan and I thought about this before the Ime situation, and this is where I get a little concerned that Ime is not going to be there, I'd be a little bit concerned about Marcus Smart because he played unbelievable for them last season when they finally – remember, there was talks even during the season last season before that one happened that they should trade him. It's not working out. Well, dude, they got rid of Dennis Schroeder, and shockingly, Marcus Smart took off, right? Because there wasn't anybody behind him. It was his show. Derek White wasn't going to force Marcus Smart to the bench. Well,
he was the point guard.
And now you bring in Malcolm Brogdon. And look, dude, on paper, it all looks great, right?
What do they look like together, though?
Yeah. And we'll see, you know, if Marcus Smart, if he struggles, you know, will Malcolm Brogdon be there? I think that you had a situation where Ime would have stood up to Marcus and got Marcus to buy in. Can Coach Joe do that? I have no idea, man. Yeah. I have no idea because I think –
good point.
If let's just say hypothetically Tatum, let's just say he takes a little jump, right? Not a big jump, but just a little jump. Jalen kind of stays the same. If Marcus slips just a little bit, I think that's going to hurt Boston too, especially with Rob Williams being out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes without saying that was the best year of Marcus Smart's career. Not only was he the defensive
player of the year.
Not only was he DPOY, he took over as starting point guard and he thrived. And like, I mean, that was, it was by far, like, he established himself as, I think most people would say, like a top 50, 60 player, like a really, you know, like top 15, 20% of the league kind of guy. Like, not quite an all-star, but yeah, his best year. And to play devil's advocate to the point that I kind of already made, as only I can do, maybe a lot of that was Ime. You know what I mean? Like, we also can't rule that out, that like a lot of the magic that they found last season, because it was magic. When you look at the way that they were blowing teams out in the second half of the year, like, there was no question they were the best team in the league between, say, January 1st and the end of the regular season. Like, there was no question. If you look at the any fucking number you want to look at the net rating. By far the best in the league. Like, they were insanely good. They were destroying teams by, like, it was like, oh my God. Like, I actually couldn't believe how good they were. And so, yeah, man, like, well, the players deserve a lot of credit. Like I was talking about before, like, it is just basketball. These are the players that are doing it. You have to wonder how much of that was Ime, and you take him out of the equation and like, maybe they lose some of that magic. I don't know if that's the concern. That's the other way it could go. And I really, you know, again, their floor is still a playoff team, but like, whether they're as good as they were last year or like a sixth seed, I do feel like it could go either way. And You said, do you know how much the over-under was affected by this,
it barely
even moved. Even with Rob?
It barely moved.
That's interesting to me. Like, I would think between the Ime thing, the Rob thing, and the Gallo thing, like, it would have taken a pretty big hit. 53.5 actually. Yeah, I don't know. I love the Celtics. Man. I feel like I'm optimistic, but I don't know if I take the over on that.
You are the most optimistic.
No. We'll think about that. We'll talk about that going forward. But like, yeah, I don't know where I would have them at. Again, play up. I don't know. Probably like middle of the pack. And it's not all Ime. A lot of that is Rob. Like, they are a much, much, much different team with Rob Williams. I can't stress that enough. Especially when you factor in Horford's age. Is he going to be the same guy he was last year?
And you know what? You know what's funny? People like Al Horford killed, dude. This is two playoff series since he's been a Boston Celtics. He beat him. He killed him the first time. Second time, Giannis got him. And this time,
right.
I think Giannis played better than him. But Al Horford.
He was actually better this time than he was back then,
He killed Milwaukee. But what I was telling the Boston fans, and what nobody realized, dude, he went to Oklahoma City and didn't have to play a year. He played big minutes last season, and now, like you said, Robert Williams is out. He's going to have – will he play those – I shouldn't say he's going to have to. Will Boston play him those big minutes early on to make up for Rob Williams being gone? Like, we
– You can't. You can't do it.
I think Boston coming in a week ago, we barely had any – I think some of the questions would have been like, how will Malcolm Brogdon and Marcus Smart fit together? You know, Jason Tatum, how high is his game going to go?
I know.
And now, man, dude, we barely touch on that stuff, and it's a complete – way more questions than they had a week ago. That is definitely for sure.
Now, you bring up another – it's another great point, man, like where that magical Al Horford that we saw last season was coming off I don't know how many games he played for OKC, but not many, and he was shut down. No, he did. I believe you. Okay, I watch every OKC.
Okay, maybe couple. And then they were like, hey,
he was
so sick.
Right. They were winning with him. That's the thing. They had him, and they had George Hill, and they had SGA. And they were like 500 and like looked pretty good. I watched every one of their games. And then they all got shut down, and then Al was done for the year. So I don't know. He might have played like 25 games. For what it's worth, he looked really good. I think people don't realize that he was actually really good for them in the short time he played. But that version of Al that we saw last season with the Celtics was coming off basically a year of rest. Like, I think he was shut down by the All-Star break for sure, maybe even late January. So he was coming off a year where he barely played, and he was just working on his body and all that. And now we get the complete opposite. This guy is coming off an incredibly deep playoff run, a full season. He's 2 years older. A year older than he was, I should say, when he started last season. So, how old is Al Horford? Was he 36, 37?
Ooh, like, he's up there. I'll look it up right now for you.
He's up there. So, like, you're getting he's a year older, and he's coming off, like, 100 games.
He's 36. Or, he's He's 36.
36 coming off 100 games instead of, you know, 35 coming off 20 games that didn't matter. So that's an important point that you bring up where, like, can you even afford to play him 28 minutes a game in the regular season?
It's going to be fucking fascinating. It really
is. Yeah.
Yeah. But, dude, I know this is an overstated NBA pod. I spent 57 minutes talking about the Boston Celtics. I never thought that I would do that. We just recorded a Boston-centric podcast. I guess we finally made it. We didn't talk about any other teams. It was just straight Boston Celtics talk. And
man. Cheers.
It deserved the attention, man. It definitely deserved the attention. But hey, buddy, cheers.
That was dope, man. We'll do it again soon for sure.
We will do it again, man. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Please subscribe. Go to our YouTube channel, Overstated NBA.
Yeah.
Hit us up, man, dude. We're going to be posting some videos. Brett's doing a great job. Brett's going to teach me how to edit some stuff. And like I said, if anybody knows how to produce, man, hit us up. Hit us up with the DM.
Or if you know how to put together a website, too. Like, that would web designers, hit us up. That'd probably be the priority right now.
We have a website, and we don't know how to use it. So if somebody wants to help us out, man, hit us up in the DMs, dude. You can find Brett and I on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook. We love you guys. Thank you guys for listening. For myself and Brett, we'll see you guys next week. Peace.